to the end of our meeting. And suspecting that Usune will do a follow-up on what we have asked, that from these two provinces they must submit a very crucial document that we need in order that we must prepare our report to the officials of the committee, in order that we must engage on the report and ready to formulate what we have proposed of a few members that will visit some areas before September. If the office of Sonia, Debo and Mpumi can assist that immediately when the submissions are arrived, they must deal with the report immediately in order that must add and subtract and adopt our report. Because we want to do a follow-up very soon. By those who I'm saying, thank you very much, Honorable Members. Today, I don't think that it's going to be a long meeting, because we're taking our time when we first received these names, and we've been waiting for a vetting. Now, here are the names that finally the reporting there. So, I don't know the approach that you think that we must follow. But in front of us, and also they asked us to carry that big file, but also he has provided us with information. Let me take this opportunity to say that the information in front of us, let's take that 5 minutes, read it, and then from there we can start. I'm giving the member that opportunity. Thank you. Been briefed about all these things, so I wondered what we are looking and reading, what was the office said. If you still remember, we're thinking that we still have our own meeting, and the office of our state says no, it must be an open meeting. So because they briefed her, I want her to take us through in order that we must start the process.
Morning, members. There are two types of results. The one is from the company that is contracted by Parliament, Human Resources Section, to check and verify the qualifications that people claim to have. You will see on these the background screening the reference, this little logo, ID or something, see, or MIE. This is the qualifications meeting result. You will see that every candidate's name appears at the top there, and then you have I for the institution, and you have in a little box ticked positive, and on the qualification has been awarded to candidates. HR said they did not notice any negative results in this regard from anyone. You can have a quick look to verify whether this is true. The other result was from the State Security Department. That's the shorter one with the lower left top. And I think members can peruse those. The document is very short. It's 2 pages. Honourable members, I'm asking the advice of the committee to take us through. Debo, I don't want that if I must take the whole day. I want that we must do this process. If we cannot agree that that's what we want, we'll see what we do. Debo, take us through.
Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, Chair. The process that we ought to follow, that they are out of the 16 shortlisted members that we had agreed upon, 10 have passed the security clearance, and the other 6 have got questionable. Things that ought to be looked at. The committee therefore decide on a process of way of saying we can work with the 10, alternatively start the process afresh such that we've got a bigger pool of selection. Because even with the 10, based on the results of the interviews and the numbers that I expect, remember the minimum of the board members ought to be 7. So we've got 10 candidates, which is a list that can still work. But I remember that members and the chairperson had agreed that this list, this number can be worked up to 9 or 11, as far as we're concerned in the previous meeting. So as it is, Chair, we can make that decision of either ignoring this list and starting the fresh, the process afresh by calling for more nominations and starting the process afresh, or like with the numbers that we have, but also look at the individual cases of each of those seats that have been included. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I'm suspecting that it must be way, because if six failed and they are still going to look at what does that mean to us, and I'm suspecting we cannot ask further names. If we have 10 and if it's not yet cleared, what does that mean to us? I would love that you must address what everyone must contribute, but you must address that. Honourable Ralfomo, Honourable Malana, Honourable Malata, Honourable Mutet, aye, Malana.
No, Chair, I've got a question, particularly with regard to the state security checks, because for me, I don't understand what does it mean if they say they must even submit their ID, because the way I'm reading it, it's not conclusive. Number two, how do we say a person is not qualified if it's old and if they check, it decides that it's negative? Because we didn't put that criteria that if a person owes anything, therefore it's negative, therefore it doesn't pass. How do we arrive at that? Or is it what we wanted? Because everybody has got a negative credit. There is no body who does not have a negative credit. They need to be conclusive. They can't just say you got negative credit, therefore. Because everybody has got a negative credit. I want to understand that. What does it mean?
Thank you, Honourable Honourable Manning.
Thank you, Chair. When I hear the person's advice, she is advising that since we had 16, if I'm not mistaken, it's only 10 that qualified with a good record. The other 6 left out because of the negative record. I think if maybe we can just get clarity on that, do we have to take this one off negative credit? Because if it's a criminal record, yes, I agree, and the false qualification, but the criminal record, I don't think it affects the candidate. Because if we go back and start afresh, it's not going to be an easy thing, since we check each and every candidate before that this one does qualify, this one does not qualify. And if we are having left with these 10, we have to look at these 10 left now, since we know exactly that they do qualify and select on those, because we only need certain people who are going to serve on that spot. If we have these 10, I think it's enough for us to look at that.
Thank you, Honourable Manana. Honourable Malazi.
Thanks, Chair. I just need clarity, and I think what could be useful here would be to refer back to the legislation about the suitability of people that can be considered, because with regards to criminal records, it's a no-brainer. It's in there. It's here. So what we need to establish is on the question of, you know, credit records, and as far as, and I think under correction, as far as I understand, that has no bearing on the suitability of a candidate. So if we can hear that, it will leave us with a very easy job to do, to know that we either go through the 60 names or the 10 names.
Honourable Malika, Honourable Mushi, Honourable
Chair, I would like to agree with Honourable Manana to say we need to carry on with the names that we are having. Because my understanding would be to say, if we've got 16 people and you want 7, then we need to undergo a process of reducing the number. So if there is a problem, anything that puts you out, there is no reason we need to ourselves to say, but what about these 6? Because they are not the same as the 10. They've got a little bit of a problem. So then, it's making our our that has got a credit record says they've got a problem that the Atten do not have. So that is why I would suggest that I would support Manana to so let us look at the 10. I think it has they've been cleared has put them into an advantage. So let us look into the 10 and get the 7 out of them. Thank you.
Honorable Musi and Honorable Abraham.
Yeah, no, thank you, sir. I think Chairperson, like Honorable Ralekhuma indicated, we really need to get a clear understanding of how some people were disqualified. And I think if perhaps, I don't know, if perhaps there was the legal desk would perhaps give us a clear perspective as to reasons behind that, because I don't think criminal no the credit record would be the only thing that could disqualify a person. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, I agree with the previous speaker and Honourable Ranohama. And I think somewhere last year in the Credit Act it was mentioned, I'm not 100% because I wasn't aware of this now, that the credit record shouldn't reflect on a person's credibility. Because what Ishley Parson said, how do we rectify to try and do part of the transformation in South Africa, saying that many people is on credit records for certain things that is beyond their control and so on. So I think if this was part of the criteria too, saying that do you have a problem with ITC and you whatever, or can you just declare that you have any credit records then to the PC, because many of South Africans get marginalized because of credit records like these. Thank you.
Honourable members, if we can now, by Utebu, refer us to EACT, because the only thing that will assist us to EACT budget, the popular view is that if we cannot change anything if we found with a criminal record, but the only problem that members I wanted to know is the this thing of credit check. So let's, before we discuss further, let's hear from the Act what is actually saying. They've acted according to Act. If Act is saying that if we have a bad record in credit, we are not going to qualify, and then let's take our discussion from there. Are we agreeing, Honorable Mutega?
I think we had to discuss the requirements prior, because now this thing has been done, and then now we discussing why others didn't do like this, but excellent, the credit records. Also, we also have to look at what kind of credit is it. Maybe some may be a student that was blacklisted because he couldn't pay the school fees and other things. So those things, but they are irresponsible credit that you can see that this person cannot qualify for it. But credit records is something else. But I think we are late also, because we need to look at the requirements and agreed on them before all this. So now you can go back and say these people were they had to be part of the shortlisted, where the business has already been done. That's why I'm supporting the fact that let's go with the 10. And then,
but we are leaders. We must be responsible in order that in future, this is not only maybe the board that we must be responsible. We want to understand this problem, this thing of e-credit, what it says to act, and then disengage. For instance, your statement of maybe you were a student, what if they've taken somebody who owns school fees then, and then we'll be saying that we're agreeing with the selection. let's have an understanding of what is it that we want to achieve on discussing, whether it's early or late, but as a committee, this is not the first and the last thing that we'll be doing. Maybe I was asking whether do you want that you must read it, or maybe let's exhaust it discussion, because I'm seeing ends. I'm seeing Honorable Rahoma, Honorable Malazi, please let's wait for the act and some they want to contribute or to change their minds of reading the act. Let me guide it by the members. Honorable Rahoma, Honorable good morning, Deputy Chairperson. Welcome. We missed you in the street. and then Honorable Malazi.
No, Chair. Even the way they've written this report, it's not conclusive. We must still give the said people an opportunity to go and take in that things, because that is what they are saying, before they can conclusively say they've got criminal records. And then second, if we wanted to exclude people that have a negative credit rating, we were supposed to have said that clearly up front. We didn't do that. You can't exclude a person on the basis of negative credit. Because negative credit, if you owe rent, you can be said that it's negative, because they found that you owe somebody. It's negative. So that is why I'm saying we need to ensure that the said people must be given an opportunity to explain this case before we can exclude them. Because otherwise, we shall have painted people that they've got criminal records without sufficient proof that they've got criminal records. Because even these findings, they are not saying that. They are saying, we think, and therefore we want the said people to come and do fingerprinting, so that they can prove beyond reasonable doubt that it was a criminal record.
Thanks, Chair. As far as I understand it, what the background checks are saying is that there are no issues with the tendencies. What they've basically done is red flags for us to be aware of what's happening with these individuals. It is not, as Honorable Rahoma says, conclusively excluding them from that process. What basically says, because the Act, as far as it says, does not communicate on what credit spends. What we have so far is that out of these 16 names, we have 10 tier ones and 6 problematic ones, but those problematic areas are not areas that the Act exclusively excludes people on them. It is basically saying that we should be aware that, you know, there are issues with these individuals, and which is why those issues can be cleared during the interview process and when the fingerprints are conducted.
I think the bottom line is requirements. If credit is part of requirements, let it be.
Honourable members, we come to respond as honourable members while we are still discussing this. Let's not do that, because we're still going to read the Act. And honourable is referring on that. If the Act is saying that, we're going to agree, but we are not yet reading the Act, it's his contribution and we are right. That's why at the end of the day we want to read the Act, what it says. But what the other colleagues, honorable members, are saying, we'll be doing an engagement. Because this point two, to me is telling me something, that we still have to engage on point two. What is this? Sentences means to us as a committee. Honorable Manan. Read the Act.
I want to read the stipulations
of the disqualification from the appointment to the appeal board. In terms of section 26 of SWIFT, to export and registration given at 2 of 2010. And the other part, but disqualification from the appointment is that a person is disqualified from the appointment of the appeal board if such a person, one, is not a citizen of or not permanently resident in the Republic. Two, is a subject to an order of competent court declaring such a person to be mentally ill or disordered. Three, is convicted after the commencement of the act, whether in the Republic or elsewhere, of any offence for which such a person is sentenced to imprisonment without the option of a fine. Four, at any time prior to the date of commencement of the act was convicted, or at any time after such a commencement is convicted. One, 4A, under 4A, in the Republic, the person mustn't be, there must be no stigma on the issue of theft, fraud, forgery, uttering a forged judgment or perjury, or an offense in terms of Prevention of Corruption Act of 1958. And insofar as it relates to the aforementioned offenses of Chapter 2 of the Prevention and Combating and Corrupt Activities Act of 2004, any offense corresponding materially with any offense referred to in subparagraph 1, whether in the Republic or elsewhere, of any offense involving dishonesty has been convicted of an offense under the Act. Now, Chairperson, I'm not a lawyer, but in my cell phone I always get a message that says I'm owing Edgar. I want to be practical. I'm owing Edgar 50 rand. And I'm trying to imagine if, because I've got that SMS to speak, that when I settle in that 50 rand, I just got a negative degree on me. And I'm an applicant in this process. And I do not know whether I've ever opened an account to Edgar. I've never. But if I was one of the people, then this was going to have a degree on me. But I leave this to the member to interpret, or somebody who's got legal powers to interpret this, if it requires further interpretation. But there's nothing that refers to credit on what I've just read. So there's no bearing on the additional six people from what I've just read here on basis of the air. So in my view, for our benefit as a committee, if you've got that 10 automatically qualifies for interview. We can therefore use our discretion as a committee, because there's nothing that bars us from looking at that additional seat. As a credit profile or credit record of those people is not a requirement based on the act. Now my advice is that the committee should be reasonably fair on those people. For instance, I want to put myself in one of those people. I'm saying I'm getting an SMS on a daily basis. I have it here. That when am I selling 50 rands of a task? I have never taken anything from that. And I think the committee should give those agencies an opportunity to present themselves and say, is this thing realistic on your credit profile? Because I have got an account at Edgar that I do not know. So I'm trying to say there are dynamics somewhere else that affects people negatively on the use of credit. So we need to be mindful of it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to also submit that the requirement of the candidate that is on the board, while they may not stipulate the credit aspect of it, also it is within the Act. It doesn't stipulate the safety of export and recreation, and it doesn't stipulate that the person ought to have a credit clearance, but go as far as saying it has to be, the person can be disqualified on a matter of having committed a criminal offence and was found to have been guilty of that particular offence with no option of a fine. And so or driven. So in as far as the candidates, the five accused candidates, except with 2.2, were further fingerprints ought to be taken just to confirm if there is any criminal act. Taking into 2.2, taking into account that post that verification process, its nature also ought to be found, because if that person had been found guilty but with no prison in a term served or no fine that would have been given but just a caution, so it would still not include that person from the process, because they would have been found guilty with an option for other remedial actions rather than the sentencing or imprisonment. Yeah. So the nature of the, and these are not even criminal offenses, these are judgments based on their criminal. So there's no criminal offense on the part of the four people, right? It's just a negative reflection on their collection of criminal of financing. But their nature also, and perhaps the magnitude, the members can therefore use that to their discretion. Although it's not a basis for exclusion, to determine if those four members can be included in that particular process. So one would still say that they still stand a chance to be in the process. The second aspect I want to highlight is that Section 26, number 5, of the appeal board members, is that it makes it stipulates the principles of the nature of the person that you ought to be having. One, expertise and special knowledge in that. I think the 15th and they made it because they've got that particular special knowledge in safety and recreation. The second one is the commitment to fairness, openness, accountability on the part of the members. And these are the things that ought to be tested in the process post this during the interview stages. So one would still say that while, and this state security was just highlighted this to bring to the attention of members, not necessarily for the purpose of exclusion, but for members to consider as and when we take the process forward. So the process still lies in the hands of the members to determine whether to include the four members with us, and therefore determine therefore the way in which we're going to be reflecting on the four members that five members that have been excluded, as to what is the process that we're going to carry on, just so we verify and certify ourselves with the judgment and the red flags that have been raised by state security. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honourable members, we need to have a way forward, and and table. They are giving us what acts is free and cannot act out of it. But one other question that I was going to ask and share with members is what now Utebo is answering it in the contribution. That as members, are we binded by this? The only thing that I was thinking that it was binding us is a criminal record, that you cannot take anyone who has got a criminal record, and they were waiting for that they must go and do that take up. Now this thing of e-credit, let's debate on it and let's have a way forward. What do we say? And if we still have Tina, a chance of things, we do want these people for interview in order that we must know about. Because one other thing, I was not aware, not when you're getting documents early in the morning, I was not aware that this amount has been put here. And so when we're discussing this, whilst they are not yet even finished, what they are thinking that they must do, taking off fingerprints in all those things. Why did they say that the process is finished whilst there are still things that are outstanding and how are we going to take a decision? Two, I was going to ask the honorable member that do we still have a say in this report, because this report is tabled to us, and I'm suspecting the only thing that we cannot take decision on is criminal records. But we are all agreeing, and not all agreeing, that about the credit check, let's engage on that and then have a way forward. Honorable Rahom, Honorable Bashir, Honorable Marat, Honorable Mutek, thank you.
No, Chair, I want to suggest that we request, particularly, it's only one or two that are seeing possible criminal records, or three, that we encourage them to do fingerprinting before we can conclusively say they've got criminal records, and to proceed with interviews, because we can even ensure that once we have interviewed, we also ensure that they must do that, so that we are satisfied, we have engaged with all members, we have given all members a fair chance, and we have asked, based on the information that has been given to us, that we have treated them the same. And then from there we make a decision, because we are still going to interview them, all of them. We are going to interview them. So this will be a useful information we can use. But if it is possible, we need to ensure we can even engage when we do interviews, some of the things that this report has created on us. We can use this to ensure that we bear these results.
Thank you, Honorable
Thanks, Chair. I agree with Honorable Anahoma with regards to the criminal side of things, that we definitely get the fingerprints first. In terms of credits, I think what we have to be mindful of is two degrees of credits mismanagement. One is what our research is saying, where you're getting this false accusation, or someone's telling you that there was an account and there was interest on the account, whatever, and you owe it, and the interest keeps growing, and you don't even know you've got this account. But the second one is where you've been reckless, and that could be that you tried to take a loan on something more than you had, or it was a non-disclosure on your earnings, and they gave you credit based on that non-disclosure. Now, if this position was for a FD or a treasurer or something to do with money, I'd be far more cautious, and I'd say, well, we really have to guard against it. Where I would be cautious is if this person is found to have been reckless or cannot, I suppose reckless or negligent in terms of their own responsibilities, you know, that they might have said that they earn this to get this, or they've left, you know, the one of the body corporates amounts, so they sold their place, they left as a tenant to go elsewhere. Those very same people then have to be trusted to be responsible with the lives of people at events, etc., etc. So I would then again say we'd have to be cautious when interviewing. But I would, because it's not a qualification to be interviewed or to be a candidate or a nominatee, I would suggest that we go ahead with at least the people that have had the credit judgments only, and that with in line with what comes with Honourable Alakoma, that that is pending a fingerprint, a bank fingerprint, that we continue to interview them and at least hear from them whatever they have to disclose.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to refer to the memorandum, point 2.2, where it talks about the problematic areas. The criticism of the following individuals confirmed that there's an absence of citizens, however they may have possible criminal records. Arrangements should therefore be made for this office to take their fingerprints in order to confirm such a criminal record. And I think that leaves the ball in our court to say that either through the office of the chairperson to make that communication to some people and say,
go ahead and conduct the fingerprints so that when we treat all of them, we treat all of them on the basis that they are within the scope of the requirements for consideration to be appointed into the court. And that would have cleared any other issue that we worry about. And to strongly support what Honorable Ralohoma says on that, while that communication is about to turn, we then proceed with this turn for the interviews. And then when it comes, so that we do not further delay the process by, you know, waiting when we can still do our bit while they clarify the issue of the existence or non-existence of criminal records. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I think the Act doesn't talk of credited records and all that. So as public representatives, we cannot really disqualify people due to the capitalist records. And we let us go on with the fingerprints so that we can do away with the real criminals, not the something else.
That's the decision of the committee. It's majority view, and I'm suspecting that by Honorable Musi, the last person to contribute, and I'll close the matter and looking to the process. Because immediately I've said, when I'm reading, I've seen this point two. That it has been assist us. I'm happy that members there even referred to it. And let's agree that that process must be followed whilst we are going to do the interviews. So I'm as a member of committee, not just a chairperson, I'm agreeing on what was said. Honorable Moses.
No, I was going to agree on that, Chairperson, but I was of the feeling that you know, all of them, rather than, you know, getting the later. But I think it's the same thing with Chairperson.
It's the same thing because they are having a pending something that is not finished by these people who did give us the recommendation, but finally we'll do that. Because they've outlined their process and conclusion while still hanging. We're all agreeing that they must do this, and we'll call these people to come immediately that we are satisfied about what was outstanding from this fingerprint. With that, Honorable Members, mandate is one. We're accepting the 10 candidates, those who are still having this 2.2 question. The office as from today, on behalf of the committee, I must ask these people that they must do what they didn't do to us. We've delayed, we know Tina as a committee. This thing, it was overdue until the committee take these steps, and now we're thinking that today we're coming to finalize, but at least the progress that the office sooner start to check as interviews whilst we're waiting for this. Thank you, Honorable Members. That's our decision. Honourable Members, I want that I must clear on this decision of 12%. Please refer me in order that I must agree. I don't want to agree. I don't know now where 12 comes because I'm seeing 10. So I want to be clear. 2.3. Let's look at 2.3, all of us. why they put 10 here? No questions. And then the other two say, what is this 2.3 saying? Please read and interpret for me.
Sir, 2.1, we still have to verify the criminal records. 2.4, we still have to verify criminal records. They also have a judgment at 2.4. But 2.3 is just a negative credit record, which are those two that we are going to add to the 10. There's no verification of fingerprints on 2.3.
No, but when we are saying to our decision, let's have a verification of fingerprints. And why now are you so much certain? We've said, let's have one talking about this 2.3.
No, the 2.3 don't have to do fingerprints.
Okay. Now I wanted that when we are taking decision, we must be all clear, because even myself, I didn't understand about these two that we are trying to clarify. It's very important that we can't take a decision that we don't all understand. Honorable Muteba, Honorable Abraham, Musu, your hand is still up.
Thank you, Chief. I think we are done with this and then we study it again. Because if you can see number two, it says the 10 has got here, and the others have got some lies and other things. So why do you have to go back and include other two on top of the 10? We agreed on the 10 that we can start with it. But now if you put another two on the 10, it means you must start discussing it.
I thought the members were saying that the basis of exclusion should not be on criminal on credit record. And so the two that we are saying are taking in are excluded on the basis of criminal record. There's no criminal on basis of credit record. There's no criminal criminal record that has to be checked. So hence you are saying we are taking them with the 10 because those have been excluded on the basis of credit record. The other three, 2.2 and 2.4, still have to do verification to check the criminal record.
Okay. Honorable Mualaji, Honorable Abraham, Honorable Du, Honorable Musi.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to support what Sabuha is saying with regard to the difference here is that there is no indication of possible criminal record as a result of their credit standing, which is why even in the communication from State Security Agency in 2.2, it does say that in the last sentence there that therefore, arrangements should be made for this office to take fingerprints in order to confirm such a criminal record. And this speaks to the named person here. And with regards to the two, there is no indication about the need for the state agency to confirm a criminal record.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, I'm covered that to go. Thank you.
Honorable Manan.
I think I was a bit covered, but I'm getting a bit lost now. If we go back and when I look at this and start from 2.1 to up until to the 2.4, when it says on the 2.4, although we did not charge these two candidates here, it says the security screening of the following individuals confirmed that they are South African citizens. However, they have negative credit record and may have possible criminal record. That's taking aspect that if they can take a fingerprint, maybe they can have criminal record. Same like these other two that we are taking them to the 10, isn't it?
Okay. Thank you for your contribution, Honorable Manana. Do you still further contribute? With me, now I'm clear on what I was asking. Because I was not aware where that two comes from. But after the clarification, I'm certain that I'm supporting these two. So if there's one who's against on what the Honorable Member said, that we split into the objection is accepted, and then we need to engage each other. Is there still member that wants to argue about these two, as I was still wanting to argue? Now I'm convinced. Okay, you can represent that. Lele, that's what we're deciding, Honorable Members. Thank you, Lele.
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Because at this moment, we don't want anything that we are referred to us that we didn't take the advice and labor was done for rubbish. We have seen in this parliament that in so many committees that we didn't approve, members will give up, but others will continue. So I would love that every now and then we must be principled. And that's what I'm appreciating about this committee, that we do discuss issues and we must have same understanding. And that I'm very happy the way that we're doing things. Transparency and engagement on issues. You have seen in that rain in Kandla. I feel pity for you. Say that if you were with us, it was raining but not like pouring. You know, when we are in Kandla, any time, we cannot get that rain. Honourable members, the process now is in our office. Myself and the staff of this committee must fast track, and the management maybe must sit to assist, or if we are thinking that you can do without myself and Honourable Ralehomo, I will monitor that. As for today, it's work as usual, in order that we must finish this. Thank you very much. Time frame, we need to put time frame. Honorable members, don't you want to put time frames? We can't just give an open-handed. Possible.
Do you want to conclude?
I do want, but I don't want that. When can we conclude? Honorable Malani, you can't talk when.
Honorable Malani, I just need clarity. You mean on the process about the confirmation of criminal records?
Of the all process. If we don't put the time frames, frankly, they will be relaxing on we were saying that they must look at the program. She knows about the program, what it says, the program. So we want them that they must check and apply for dates that are relevant, that they will tell us that the possible dates to do interviews to the program and to the application. So maybe let's give the office staff this week and next week Tuesday. We need a report. And we say that, especially with the process of preparing for the interviews, next Tuesday we must be given a report. I'm suspecting, let's say that. Okay. Thank you, Honorable Members. The next thing on the agenda is minutes. That was received this morning. Did you have time to peruse? This is I did read it in the email.
I was just saying that the citation process, because it's not dependent on us, it's dependent on the individual. So can you give it 2 weeks just so we conclude from the office side?
We don't want to give you 2 weeks. Want you to give a week because you have got a responsibility of checking the dates that are suitable for interviews. If in 2 weeks verification is still going on, we'll be going on with those who doesn't want your verification. So we have a lot to do. Verification is not upon you and upon us, but the interview process is within you and us. Thank you. We have minutes in front of us. 26 May, it briefing by all of us in this list, briefing by the South African Sports Coordination and Olympic Committee, that's COC. Can we go to page 1? Page 2? Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Only one of page 4. Page 6. Page 7 and page 8. Oh, okay. What's up with page 8? Who's going to be next? 26 May.
No, but I don't understand why you're saying that, like, because you received a food.
It
is a food, but remember, when it asked about the decision on the national treasure.
Honorable members, we didn't do this minister. Okay. Let me that talk to the mind in all of that. We must talk not officialize this complaining to every way to arrive. I hope Malachi will remember
when we discussed the recommendation by Honorable Malachi on calling the National Treasure.
Honorable Malachi.
On the actual day, we didn't adopt the minutes because there was an issue that needed to be clarified. And we resolved that day that, in fact, we were going to listen to a recording to get exactly what happened.
We did.
And we did. And then we came back, and then that it was inconclusive. Mm-hmm. But we didn't adopt them. So we went through them, but we didn't adopt them.
Let's adopt the minutes, honorable member, because this is the third time that you are coming back. Any troubles, honorable Malachi? It's seconded by honorable Abraham. Honorable members, I don't see anything in our agenda. Anything that you want to say? Or else the meeting again. Thank you very much.
That took care of me.